let this on, put this on my heart, and I thought it, it's timely for us hoping to have a revival meeting. I will say, if you've never studied revival before, you should, especially scriptural type of revival. This article in this little book I have is called Duncan Campbell and the Lewis Revival. It says,
with the prayers of two godly women, a great outpouring of God's power began. He said, Duncan Campbell, is a quote from him in 1898 to 1971. He said, there are great many views held by people today as to what revival is. So you hear men say, are you going to the revival meeting? We're having a revival crusade, and so on. There is a world of difference between a crusade or a special effort in the field of evangelism and true revival. We praise God for such movements, but is it not true that such movements do not, as a general rule, touch the community? That is quite sad. When you read about revivals of old and you learn about them, you see that they really did touch the community. They changed and they transformed the community. So sometimes, and I like what he says here, he said, but I would say, when we say that we're going to have a revival, and we have one, and we say we experience revival, what does it look like? You know, does it actually coincide with what we read in history about a true movement of God? You know, in some sense, I believe every single one of our services should be a revival service, right? If y'all aren't revived after coming here, what's the point? You know? That's part of like what you're saying. I want to be fed, right? I want to be fed. You want to be fed? When you're fed, it gives you energy, doesn't it? It gives you strength. It gives you power. Praise God. So God forbid that any one of our services not be a revival service. But at the same time, we can seek God for periods where God, we're just asking for even more power, even more of God's Spirit to be poured out upon us, even more of His influence in our midst. Right, he says, but is it not true that such movements do not, as a general rule, touch the community? The community remains more or less the same, and the masses go past us to hell. But in revival, the community suddenly becomes conscious of the movings of God, beginning with His own people, so that in a matter of hours, churches become crowded. Now, he's speaking from personal experience. They're not just making this stuff up. But he's saying, I experienced revival, and this is what it was like. That churches were becoming crowded in a matter of hours. And you find within hours scores of men and women crying to God for mercy before they even go near a church. Have you ever seen that before? Would you like to see that? I think I remember when we started out and just talking about prayer and trying to provoke us to prayer and hopefully a strong prayer meeting in our church. You know, we mentioned that one of the chief things that you should see in prayer for it to be on fire, for it to be, you know, are you a prayer warrior? Or is your prayer life on fire? Well, how do you know it's like on fire? There's like a key ingredient. Does anybody know or remember what that is? It starts with a D. Desire. That's a key ingredient. Heartfelt, fervent prayer. Desire. I would just say when you do read about these things, it's hard to read about these things about how God moved in times past and just been like, I mean, I don't know. There may be, I would say there's probably something wrong with you if you hear about something like this happened in time past and you're just like, oh well. Well, he did that then. I don't think he's going to do that now. You know, there is, in a sense, a great pushback on any of these types of things happening because people say we're living in the last days and there's going to be a great, great falling away, you know. But I would say when you look at revival and how God moved in times past, there never was a worldwide revival. I've never read of revivals and there's been like a worldwide revival. Has anybody here heard of that? I haven't heard of it. But typically when God moves in a way in true revival, He transforms a community. I'm not saying that we should be okay with God just transforming Acton or transforming our little part of Indianapolis and the rest of the world can go to hell. I mean, would to God that there would be a nationwide revival where it would transform our entire nation. But if we don't get a nationwide revival, would y'all be okay with that? Would y'all be okay with the people of Acton, like just the whole town just being transformed and turned upside down and people unmistakably serving God, loving God, worshiping God? You know, this. It's not about like even our church like being full of people, right? Just for number's sake or whatever else. But it's like, if you understand or if we have the right heart on it, it's like we want people. It would be great to see people here and there'd be like standing room only because God is drawing people unto himself. He's saving people. He's changing their lives. He's changing their families, their homes and all of that. And they just can't get enough of God. And then we're just here as spectators almost like, yes, we're here with y'all. Praise God. He is doing something amazing in our midst. So he said, I'm going to skip over his like early salvation testimony, but he basically went to war. God preserved him in war. I like what he said. He said that he maintained a strong testimony, but testified later that he had fought tremendous inner battles with sin. Undoubtedly, you know, as a machine gunner in war, you're going to see some horrible things. And bloody battles, they said, that he saw. And he said he had tremendous inner battles with sin. Upon discharge from the military, he returned to the Highlands and soon embarked upon a ministry to his own village. Actually, you know what? Let me just read his testimony, then we can get to praying. Because it's amazing that I didn't know how long that those business matters would take, but it's almost 8:30. So, praise God. He said, when he says that you'll find within hours scores of men and women crying to God for mercy before they even go near a church, that is a description of the type of revival that swept the island of Lewis during the early 1950s. The man with whom the movement is most often associated was Duncan Campbell, a Scottish preacher whose ministry spanned nearly 50 years of this century. Duncan was born on February 13th. 1898 at Blackcross in the Scottish Islands, the fifth child of a family of nine. His parents, Hugh and Jane Campbell, were saved as a result of the witness of two female pilgrims. Praise God. Pilgrims, they put it like that. Missionaries sent by Scotland's faith mission to the Western Highlands and Islands. Family worship became an important part of the family routine, and Jane Campbell particularly influenced the children for righteousness by her constant prayers and godly example. Duncan, described by a brother as a wee rascal with a shock of bright red hair, was an adventurous and independent youngster. Like the rest of the Campbell brood, he was expected to harness his energies to help with household and farming chores. Praise God. And some energetic boys put him to work. As a young teen, Duncan discovered a talent for playing the bagpipes. Now, this is what I think is interesting. If he had godly parents, if he had a godly mother and godly father, and his mother praying for him all the time and having this godly example before him, you would think surely he would have given his life to Christ early, right? And just live for God through his youngster years. That's not what happened. By the winter of 1913, he and a group of other young pipers were providing entertainment for dances and concerts. If you knew anything about that time frame, that was a big no-no for Christians. Dances and concerts were worldly. They were wicked. Undoubtedly, his mom was still praying for him. During one concert, Duncan was suddenly seized by great conviction of sin. Hallelujah! You think God can still move that way? He can still convict people in their houses right now of sin. Great conviction of sin. Even as he tried to retain his composure, the thought plagued him. Is this all that life has to offer a young fellow? He left the concert after a brief explanation to his companions and made his way home to get right with God. His mother, who had prayed earnestly for him, rejoice with him at his conversion. From then on, there was no doubt in anyone's mind, and would to God it would be like this with us as we witness to our family and our friends and everyone else that we know. But it says, there was no doubt from then on in anyone's mind that Duncan Campbell had been born again. No doubt. The young man witnessed to everyone he saw about the saving power of Jesus Christ. Praise God. He's a new convert witnessing to everyone he saw of the saving power of Jesus Christ. You almost think he experienced some but of revival then. If you've experienced salvation as well, I would expect that you have experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ. And you yourself cannot help but talk to others about his saving power. And praise be to God, one of these days, Lord willing, one of these services, we will hear each other's testimonies. We'll have a testimony night. And Lord willing, we can hear. And I do think that when God revives you, he does not let you forget about the time that he saved you. And that actually becomes an amazing memory that just transforms you and you can't get over it. You want to tell everybody else about it. You want to see the same thing in their life. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer.